Welcome, it's SB Pod. Stanford Steve is with me. Just so everyone out there that's listening knows, this is take two. Started the pod. Didn't like the direction of the pod because it was an air of negativity about the NFL.
Mm.
And then I realized it's just because I have a cold, I don't feel well. And then I'm miserable when I don't feel well. So I shouldn't let that bleed into this. You're saying maybe he's got the Rona for the ninth time. Nope. Took a test just to have a cold. It'd be better if I had the other. Because then I'd feel better in a day or two. Anyway, so Monday night is Halloween night. Typically, we do the podcast on Monday night, but we have, must be honest, more important business to tend to. Steve has three young kids, so do I. We got trick-or-treating. We're going to be out there on the mean streets of Montgomery County, Maryland, knocking on doors. So the podcast is Sunday night. Wet front coming, Steve.
Ah, that's unfortunate, but I think it could be a monsoon coming through. It ain't stopping the kids in my house from going out and getting candy.
No, you know what I think that does? I think it just separates the pretenders from the absolute animals.
Mm.
I got three and you, so do you. All due respect. Complete savages. It's 38 and pouring. Yep. I don't care. People on this street like to try to outdo each other and give out those big bars of candy. Oh, we're going. Chad's sick. Put him down. I don't care. Take him out back and dig a hole for him. We're going to get candy. Tell him we honored him by going to get as much candy as we could.
Mm.
We'll get to the NFL in a minute. I have the most very important update after last week's Texans game. Not the Texans who got beat by the Titans. Flag football Texans.
Yes.
Get out of the car Saturday morning in the parking lot. Let's just say that the discussion about the Raiders juggernaut was the talk of the flag football world in Bethesda. And I'm glad I chose my words carefully because it was consumed by all the various teams.
Oh.
So to those interested dads, this is a very inside the beltway, literally. But we have an update. After the Texans last week were totally outclassed by the Ravens. Steve, best thing that could have happened to the group.
Yeah.
Locker room stayed together, came out committed. Salute to the coaching staff that came out with some laminated cards with some illustrations for the youngsters. We had a plan. We had a purpose. One heartbeat. And we played the Seahawks, and the Texans emerged victorious, hung a big number. Salute to all the various touchdown scores, including my son, who had several.
Oh, whoa!
Yep, several for the youngster. I tell you what, the little look he gave after the second one to see, like, our mom and dad looking. Yeah, your mom's the one screaming her head off. We saw it. It was awesome, man. It was really cool to see, you know, see your kid happy. He's six. It's flag football. Relax. I'm not making a big deal out of it other than any parent wants to see their kid happy.
Mm.
And our kids were happy. But again, salute to the coaching staff. Salute to the youngsters in the locker room that stayed together. Mm. Nobody was pointing any fingers after week one. Mostly because they just wanted to have candy and talk about dinosaurs, things like that. They weren't upset. But the coaching staff took a look in the mirror, had a plan, had a purpose. And if we see the Raiders down the road, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Wow. We're that confident, huh?
No.
Oh. That
Raiders team is they're the yardstick by which the others are measured. I'm just saying, at least we'd have a plan.
Okay.
We'd have a plan.
Well,
so, you know, that's the update.
It's good to hear that, you know, we got some listeners out there. It's also good, you know, talk about players being motivated to play. Uh-huh. Sometimes the coaches need a little fire lit under their ass. And it feels like they got the message. So it's good to see. You obviously felt better getting out of the car, had a plan in place. It's pretty obvious we started getting the ball to our better players. And look at that. We got to win.
Difference makers. No, it was a beautiful day. And it was, you know, that had a happy ride. We didn't have to take anybody for, you know, consolation prize Chipotle.
Okay.
don't know what we did. Why did we go home? I can't remember. It doesn't matter. It was a happy Saturday. We appreciate what the Raiders did. It was the wake-up call for the entire organization, top to bottom. And 1-1.
Mm.
We're on to the Bengals.
Oh.
I think that's who that is. They wear orange and black. And let me tell you what, their coach, pretty into it. Now, I haven't seen it up close. I just saw it from the their entire team's got little wristband with the blaze on them. And the dad has them, and I don't know what's happening out there, but they got a plan, that group. But
you know what we got to do?
So do we. What's that?
We got to get one of those wristbands.
I don't think so. I don't feel like our group's capable of any of that. But
I'm saying so we know the plays. You know, get one falls on the ground.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah,
we need a WikiLeaks scenario. we need a mole within the Bengal organization
careful.
Let us find out what the play calls are. Because I think there's only three or four teams in this league. There's four. I think there's just like round robin.
Oh.
Which means I'm afraid we actually do have to play the Raiders again, which is a whole other deal.
Mm.
But that was a fun little Saturday morning. We appreciate the folks that listen. And those of you out there that don't play in this flag football league, you could probably relate to the team who kicked your butt and a fun morning when, you know, it goes the right way for your club.
How are the conditions that early on a Saturday morning? We got a little dew on the field.
It was cold, man. I mean, yeah. You know, it's a little muddy.
Okay.
When the mouthpiece falls out on the ground and has dirt all over it, you know, trying to get the mud out of the just eat the dirt, boy. Secrets in the dirt. it was good fun. And then Saturday, the Saturday football we'll get to, but I'm going to talk Sunday football first since we're actually recording on a Sunday night. Let's work our way backwards. San Francisco continues to own the Rams.
Oh.
McCaffrey threw for one, ran for one, and caught one. His first game is with a full week with San Francisco, and you see the difference he makes. As you and I speak, I see him on the sidelines, or excuse me, on the field post-game with Aaron Andrews, giant smile on his face. And that division's wide open. Although Seattle hands the loss to the Giants in the late window as well. And Pete Carroll's guys continued to play really, really good football in the NFC West. But McCaffrey's, you know, the difference that he can make and how they're using him in this offense, you can see it with a full week under his belt.
No doubt about it. I just am amazed at knowing football's a different game, obviously. But the idea in the NFL that you definitely are going to play three other teams two times, I can't imagine what goes into that. And the idea of the mindset you have to have, knowing, all right, we played these guys, this is what happened, and we're going back out a couple weeks later, and we're gonna get after them again. And these two coaches to continue to dial up points with such familiarity with each other is really, really amazing to me, and it's really hard to process that the Niners continue to do this. And I know I mentioned it last time, you know, the Rams would still take this one, but man, it's got to get old, but also it's got to feel good that you don't have to play them again the rest of the way, because with the Rams I feel like there's a lot of self-inflicted wounds, and whether it's the personnel on the offensive line, the lack of playmakers besides Kupp, I think that's more in line, and that team trying to get right is dealing with themselves. So I think not having San Francisco the rest of the way could be a bright spot looking ahead.
You hit the nail on the head. The Rams, no difference makers besides Kupp. I mean, that's really what it boils down to. I mean, McVay and your group, you can be as clever as anyone, but if you don't have difference makers, I mean, Niners had a difference maker on Sunday.
Oof.
And he made the difference. I mean, they had three touchdowns. He threw one, ran one, caught one. Actually, they had another one. They added one late. Kittle had a touchdown there late, and they continue to own that one. Seattle got the victory over the Giants, which I think
thank
you and I...
Thank God.
Explain what you mean.
I just can't... Listen, Giants fans, you needed this. You needed this because you were getting a little testy. And we know how the New Yorkers are. When it comes to the crazy talk and look at us, look at me, look at what we're doing. A little reality check for you to go out to the Pacific Northwest and get a dose.
Giants and Jets too, while we're at it. I mean,
correct.
Zach Wilson, not great.
Mm-mm.
At all. I mean, look, Mac wasn't the reason they won the game either. It was just the Jets kept turning the ball over. And I was curious, the decision that Bill made. He kept taking points, you know?
Yeah. Those threes added up.
Keep stacking. 22. Keep stacking those threes, and then in the end, you can absorb, you know, that one touchdown late, recover an onside kick, you still win the game. Mm. Wasn't a work of art, but, you know, they got a victory. I'll tell you who looked really good on Sunday, and maybe it's the context of the defense they were going up against, but Tua made so many great decisions in that win at Detroit. Used Waddle and Hill the way, you ought to. Wild. That it was a scoreless fourth. Wasn't for a lack of trying. Both teams had opportunities, but I thought Tua and helping the Dolphins get to their fifth win was, to say he's a different. I mean, everyone knows he makes a giant difference, but I think it was pretty clear what he brings to the table for the Dolphins as they get a victory on the road against Detroit. They're now 5-3. Up next for the Dolphins. They take on the Bears on the road. Bears played that wild game with Dallas. Massive high scoring deal. It was just so many big plays, wild plays. And even in the loss, to me, Fields looks like he, in the last couple of games, whether it was the Monday night win or and even in a big loss, I think you're starting to see that maybe the lights start to come on and it all starts to make a little bit more sense. Do you see that as well?
Well, you mentioned Tua first. I wanted to touch on him because
yeah, go ahead.
He just looks comfortable. That's you know, he always looks like he has somewhere to go, whether it's looking off a safety or looking progression 1, 2 to 3. He just looks good. His feet look good in the pocket, and he just has a confident sense about him that he's going to make the right decision. With Fields, I think a light has gone on. I look at the performance Monday night, but then knowing and seeing Dallas on tape, knowing you probably can't do your theatrics a lot of the times because of how good their pass rush is, I think that sped everything up for him today and was a nice learning experience for him to realize, hey, down and distance, situation, where we are on the field, whatever it is, I got to speed things up because he's always been known as sort of a ball holder that's going to hold on to it a little bit longer than he should. And right. I thought you saw today him be more decisive and make some plays and trust his receivers. Another guy that doesn't have great options to get the ball to, but he looked a lot better and confident in that sense. So I was pleased with what I saw from both those guys, especially today.
Interesting. After the games, Jerry Jones says we go as Zeke goes, even though Pollard makes runs that Zeke isn't making, you know,
no.
he makes dudes miss and then hits a burst that, you know, Elliott doesn't have. I get Jerry's commitment to Zeke a lot. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not insignificant financially, but I mean, I don't know. Pollard, when you see him run like that, you go, okay, this is what it looks like when it's his day. He gets the full complement of touches. Look pretty good.
Absolutely. And like you said, I just haven't seen it from Zeke. You know, he had the weight transformation, I want to say, between last year and the year before. Obviously, injuries, you know, kept him out today. But when you talk about difference makers, I mean, Pollard is that guy. And I think he brings you so much more in the pass game. Now, I know Zeke's one of the best pass protectors at his position, and it's a very valuable thing that no one likes to talk about. But Pollard getting the ball in space, the way they have guys that can run people out of there and just give him space with the ball underneath is a weapon that I think Dak's going to – you know, I know he's great friends with Zeke, but – when you start looking at your numbers and you start looking at guys that could, you know, get some yak after the catch, that's always going to play well in a quarterback's head.
They get the win, but they're still looking up at Philadelphia, who gets a relatively easy win over Pittsburgh. You know, ho-hum, another 3-score win. You look at their schedule, and, I mean, they could lose next Sunday at Houston. I don't think they will.
Thursday night.
They could. They probably won't. But then they're home for Washington. Then they're at the Colts. Then they're home Green Bay. They're home the Titans. I mean, we get into December, and I imagine they'll lose somewhere because, again, it happens in this league. Mm-hmm. But they don't look like the kind of group that's likely to beat themselves in a game. I don't know. They just they what's that stat they use in college football about game control?
Yeah.
Watch the Eagles play, you know, and apply the idea of game control. That's mostly what they do, is just sort of control the game. And they did again. And they just, in a league where it feels like coin flips and stress are part of most equations, it just, they don't deal with it. They gave the one loss to Minnesota, who they get another win, but kind of like the Giants, I see them win again. And when it's over, I ask myself, how good are they? When you're 6-1, you're 6-1. So how you got there, I guess, doesn't matter. I'm just saying, watch them play, and do you feel like you're watching the same kind of team as when you watch the Eagles? Because I don't.
No, at all. I've seen it from early on with Philly. And the biggest thing, they have big play capability. They have a quarterback that's in complete control. You use the word control. And today, for instance, they go get sevens early on. They don't get threes. They get sevens. So now that pressure's even more on the other team's offense. And they're like Clemson, man. They just keep bringing D lineman after D lineman in the game. It feels like they rotate about 8 guys up there. They, you know, they just go out and make another move to get another guy. So I said it, well, I don't know, after week 2 or 3, the NFC is going through Philly. You're going to have to go there and win.
Yeah,
and
you said it early. You did say that early.
I feel more and more confident because of how complete they are. And the capability they have on offense, along with the difference makers on the defensive line. Slay has proven to be one of the top corners in the league. So he's going to, you know, go with your best asset on the outside, and they're going to work accordingly. So major props to them for this start to the season that had people excited, but I didn't think they were going to be as dominant as they have been.
Just a couple other just observations on the day. The Titans just, you go to your backup, you go on the road against a team that's pretty limited offensively. They don't score until the last 30 seconds of the game, just a window dressing touchdown. They won because Derrick Henry was excellent. He always runs wild against the Texans. He did again. They're 5-2. That may be sort of sneaking up on people.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee's that team everyone sleeps on all year, every year. And Mike Vrabel's guys just saying, all right, well, someone's going to win our division. Might as well be us. We'll just keep winning games. They do. And the Raiders got shut out today. Apparently, I think they had 2 snaps on the other side of the field for the entire game.
Wow.
I'm not going to act like I saw much of it. When it came on red zone, I saw it. Other than that, I don't know what they did, but they didn't do much.
Well, their defense didn't help them out early. And you go down 17-0, and Carr was in one early on. And then he, you know, held the ball a couple times, and sacks were a problem. And they never, you talked about where they had the ball in the field. I think Stidham came in late and got a drive going.
Yeah, they got on the other side of the field, like when he came in just hoping to avoid the shutout. They had 183 yards of offense.
It was bad. But I think New Orleans defense had a lot to do with that in a almost a must-win situation, knowing how close they've been. But I thought Dalton looked good throwing the ball, and Kamara looked like his old self. And, you know, you get up early in this league, it puts a lot of pressure on teams that don't want to do what they came in with a game plan of. And you saw what the Raiders did with the run game the last couple of weeks. That took them out of that because they had to throw the ball to get back in the game, and it wasn't happening with that pass rush of the Saints. So credit to them for getting a big win at home. Did they go off as an underdog? I couldn't believe that.
I don't know what it was, but they got a shutout. And you said it well. Kamara looked like Kamara, which is good. He's when he's right, he's clearly been a difference maker through the years. I just one last just thought on Minnesota, because the only loss they have is the Eagles. Looking at their upcoming schedule, a couple road games, Commanders and Bills, then Cowboys and Pats at home. So the next 4 games for Minnesota, be interesting to see sort of how they, you know, if they continue to win games, then well, I'll have to, I don't eat my words. Like, I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying that it just feels like there's a little bit of smoke and mirrors isn't it either. It's just watching Minnesota play compared to watching, say, Philadelphia play. It just feels like you're watching sort of different levels of teams in terms of being in control of games.
Yeah, Minnesota shows flashes with the talent they have on offense. But like I said, capability is definitely there. I just want to point out what I was happy to see today. And you mentioned Tennessee a little bit. That's the thing in this league where teams, you find out how willing they are. They did whatever they had to do to get a win today with Malik starting. And I wake up today, and it's a close game over in London, and put that on. And as bad as it's been for Denver, they go out and they get a win. You got to drive halfway across the world to get it. You could see the happiness they had in winning a football game. And no, it wasn't pretty, but they went out and did it and made Jacksonville, put the onus on them at the end. And then their defense shows up with an unbelievable interception to end that game. So I look at teams like that where, they're not flashy and everybody wants to talk about the struggles of Tampa Bay and Green Bay. I'd rather talk about the teams that I like watching. Carolina and Atlanta today. Unbelievable game. Unbelievable game because it doesn't have a lot of star power. Those two teams went at each other. Walker makes an incredible throw. Moore does what he does. There's plenty of other plays that are the difference, but when it comes down with a last-second touchdown and causes you to kick a 50-yard extra point, what it felt like, that's what people are going to talk about that. But Mariota hung in there all game. That wasn't pretty early on. Foreman looks good at running back for the Panthers. That's a division wide open. Who wants it? Those two teams showed me that they're not going to stop competing and don't care who they're playing against. So I'm really, really, really happy to see those two teams go at it in a game like that.
That's well put. Just in terms of just willingness to battle, and it was clear. It was clear. There's a little bit of back and forth between those teams. Look, division rivals, as you said earlier, playing a team twice every year. That's Panthers and Falcons know each other well, even if it's guys that are in different roles than they've been in the past. But that was a hell of an entertaining football game. Insane. I mean, Moore takes his helmet off, which is after that incredible catch. Unfortunately, they actually pointed it up way back, and Atlanta's leading a division. Atlanta and Seattle lead divisions.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be Halloween here. Now you got to get to Thanksgiving, then you got to get to Christmas, then you got to get to New Year's. I mean, a lot of these holiday mileposts to hit, but not one person had Atlanta and Seattle as division leaders.
Not one.
In October. Nobody. And there they are. Now, on the Saturday football, a couple things. Is Tennessee going to be number one on Tuesday night when the first ranking comes out?
I don't think so.
Okay. Who do you think it's going to be, Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay. That means Ohio State's two or Tennessee?
They can make Ohio State two.
Tennessee three with all their wins would be surprising to me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a thought on Tennessee's offense. Good luck with that. Now they're a double digit dog at Georgia, which is, I mean, at some point I'm going to learn my lesson going against them in picking numbers, because it's like I took a dozen with Kentucky, which was not nearly enough. I needed another dozen and then another dozen more, and I still wasn't going to get there. They stress you, and they find out where you're weak, and then they exploit the weakness, and then they play the fight song. Hooker at the controls of that offense right now is, we keep going back to this word control, that he's in complete control of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a scary, scary group. And, I'm sure George is just giving you that look and saying, come on, And we get to find out what's what, but I mean, this Tennessee, this is what they've been waiting for feels like a long, long time. And, now it's here and you got Georgia next week, but we got time to, I guess, think about that. But in the meantime, Ohio State goes on the road, makes a statement. Georgia gets to go with, take on Florida and got close for a minute, but kind of fake close or not. But I mean, they went going away. Although if you had Florida, you got there, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Sure really. Did.
That was a hold on to your butts, huh?
Yeah, 28-3. It didn't feel good.
I feel like we're starting to get a little bit of clarity, with some of these teams in college football. And some of it's like, I thought Wake was really good. They got beat by a million by Louisville. which was nuts. But like teams like Oregon, teams like TCU that keep going on the road or that went on the road this weekend and won, you know, you're waiting for somebody to stumble. And so far, a lot of these teams haven't, which is impressive.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think the world of this TCU run. I really do. And that was significant to some at the end of that game.
That was really
depending
upsetting.
On which side you were on. If you're betting Big 12 unders, you got problems. But anyway, TCU, this stretch that they've had, I don't think they're like – I have them at 2 in mine because of their resume. And I don't think people – they just see a typical Big 12 team. Like I have people, they don't even have them at like 6. I'm like, well, what are we playing the games for? They've beaten everybody they've had to. They have an unbelievable offense. They didn't play well yesterday, and they still went on the road and won a division game in a game where they're more than a touchdown favorite. So you have to give credit to these teams that are going out and doing the job and stop worrying about, well, if this team did this and this team did, look at the teams that have done it. That's my biggest issue. When we get to this point and you have undefeated teams up there, give them credit because they haven't had that idea of a loss or whether a bad performance and it was a loss or a bad turnover, something like they've won the games. So I give them credit. Going back to Tennessee, what they do offensively is such a headache for defensive guys. I'm dying to see what Georgia brings up to the table. They've always feel like they've had an original game plan going against top offenses. But the way Tennessee stretches you out and makes you cover guys one-on-one, you have to figure out what you're going to do with your safeties and your outside backers. Are you going to play them in space out towards the receivers? All right, fine. We'll run it. And it's a matchup game. So what they're doing is great. I don't think their offensive line gets enough love because you said Hooker's in complete control. There's a reason he's in complete control. He doesn't get freaking touched. And guys do a great job of picking up. I mean, everybody's throwing more exotic blitzes at them as people get more tape on them. And that offensive line has stepped up week after week. So they've been a really, really fun unit to watch.
Their offense is nasty. Ohio State's offense is really good, but they don't beat Penn State on Saturday without 44.
Mm-hmm.
And the performance that JT had, and I at some point I'm going to learn how to say his name without screwing it up.
I got Tui Malau.
That's what it is. But I always talk. I just call him Big 44 because, you know, I mean, it's rare that college football is almost always the offense that dominates. His performance on Saturday, catching the ball, getting to the quarterback, making tackles. I mean, he was an absolute wrecking ball. Mm-hmm. And I think it was important for Ohio State to face a situation like that where they trailed in the fourth quarter.
No doubt.
They haven't been. I mean, the first game against Notre Dame was early, early and ugly. I mean, their offense hadn't hit its stride by a long shot. But I mean, you need to be in an environment that's as good as Penn State's is and feel that urgency. And what kind of answers did they have when push came to shove? If it weren't for Penn State running some late cover plays, that would have been a tough one to swallow.
Oh, awful.
Yeah. But well, good for you. I'm happy you got there. I don't. What happened to me in Morgantown is unjust, and I'll never. You know what? We move on to next week.
No, but, we can't. Have you seen anything like that? The only thing I can remember is Marino running the fake spike play. Where you were like, all right, we're good. Oh, no. Oh, my God, that just happened.
Like, you know what's funny about it? And like, take gambling out of the equation, even though you're going to say the only reason you're saying this is because you had West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia jumped.
Yep.
If you take the penalty and take the points off the board, you can take knees and win.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll say, well, why would you do that? Well, what are the odds that West Virginia scores, gets an onside kick, and scores? Almost zero. But if all you have to do is snap and take one knee to win the game by 3, then the odds of them winning are zero. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You'd never do it, but you could have. And it would have been wild had they done that. You know what? Actually, we don't want the points because we don't want to have to kick off because we don't want to open that door, however fractional the possibility is. But somebody, and I'm not suggesting that the TCU coaching staff would be aware of the coaching of the number, but somebody would know. And someone would say, Coach, you might not want to take these points off the board just in general.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Because I would imagine some of the folks in Fort Worth probably backed their guys.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the public certainly did. It was quite a happy public side. And I'm good for you that you guys won like that. I did not. Boy, was that disgusting.
I just thought it was a well-coached deal. You could tell they had that situation, that play called on purpose. It's a foot on the gas offense, a la, you know, Tennessee. We're talking about that. TCU is always going for the throw. I thought it was a huge drive right before the half where you saw that aggressiveness, and Duggan's a major part of that. Coach has belief in his quarterback, and they're going out and making plays. But just I'm sorry to the people that had West Virginia, but it's an incredible play. And you see how they do that by design too, how high he throws it, hoping to even get a pass interference call. If it, you know, they did that later or earlier in the game, I should say. So yeah, very, very unfortunate circumstance for West Virginia backers. I'm sure we'll see that one Monday night.
Yes, we will. Yes, we will. A&M's 3-5. Mm. And I watched Miami win on 2-point conversions because I had Virginia. I mean, I can't get over those two teams and the years they're having. But Miami won in triple overtime on a 2-point conversion, which, if you think about it, by the way, is the single stupidest thing in sports.
It's
triple overtime. Now we've stopped playing a bastardized version of football where we no longer use a 100-yard field or a clock, but now we're going to decide the outcome of a game on this nonsensical 2-point conversion. Just absolute stupidity.
Yep. And when it comes down to a game that has ranked teams at both in it, it's going to get to a level where people are going to complain. It's going to go away because you can't not end a college Division I football game on that nonsense, as you pointed out. You were watching the game. When did you realize it was going to that 2-point conversion nonsense?
When Virginia somehow held them out of the end zone at the end to force overtime, I thought, well, no one is going to score a touchdown because they clearly can't. Virginia got stopped on the 2 in like the third quarter. I mean, listen, I watched it because I had to. I don't assume anybody listening to me did, unless you went to Virginia or Miami or you were involved in the game as I was. Otherwise, why, with everything else to choose from, would you have subjected yourself to that? Well, I sort of had to. And let me tell you, buddy, no one could score a touchdown, and no one did. 9-9 field goals.
Ugh.
And then twos, which I suppose for that particular game wasn't as you know, ridiculous a way to decide it as, you know, if it would have been, say, like that Bama Tennessee game. When they played a couple of weeks ago, I mean, had they had to decide theirs that way, that would have been ridiculous. You're right. Something will happen where people look at each other and go, "This is really how we're going to decide who wins the game with this." Okay,
I would say more than 50% of college football fans don't know real thing. They don't know because they haven't seen
people in the NFL forget that you can tie a game. Like there are these rules that don't often come to the fore that when they do, you realize, wait, this is a real thing. Well, this is as good as we can do, huh? We can't come up with something better than that. Apparently not. Other things.
Yeah.
World Series shifts to Philly for Monday. Weather iffy.
Mm.
They're not going to care. Just like our kids aren't going to care Monday night if it's raining for a trick-or-treat. People in Philadelphia don't give a damn if it's raining.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to come to the bank ready to go. Phillies already stole, you know, they stole the game they wanted, come back from down 5-0 and beat the Astros game 1. It's felt all along like this is the sneaky kind of I don't know. I keep saying I don't want to use the word fate or destiny or whatever and act like they're underdogs. They're a top five payroll, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, but nevertheless, you know, they have been underdogs in every game and every series thus far. It's just been fun to watch them. Fun to watch the Astros too, because they're not going to blink. But we'll see what those games look like there. I get that there's a million other things going on, but were you watching that, watching the World Series at all?
I watched Friday night, didn't watch a second last night, fully invested in college football. So
I was too. And the fact that the Astros got the early lead,
yeah,
allowed you to kind of just dip in and out. I wasn't mm-hmm. watching at, you know, like at bat for at bat the way I was Friday night.
Yeah.
Cause you kind of didn't have to, but that, again, hopefully the weather doesn't screw it up for Monday.
Mm.
Anything else we got?
Yeah. Tomorrow night, when you get home from work and your kids' Halloween bags are right there, uh-huh. what's the first thing you're stealing?
I'll look for $100,000 bar.
Okay. Can you eat a whole big one of those?
No.
Because that's a lot. The bite size are perfect.
That's right. I want a small $100,000.
Okay.
The big ones are just, it's too much of the crunchy and the caramelly, and I'm afraid I'll pull a tooth out.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll pass on that.
Okay.
I mean, there's tiers, right? I mean, it's, you know, everybody's got sort of their, I'm not anti the coconut, you know?
Really?
If there's mounds, I'd prefer an Almond Joy, but
okay.
Some people are super anti. I'm surprised you're not, as much as you hate like mustard and Parmesan cheese. I would think that you would have a very passionate feeling to be anti the coconut based candies.
Not completely anti. It's not my favorite. But around this time, you know, if you see one, you grab it. Oh, how does that taste? Oh yeah, it's like that. Not kind of great. I am with you on the almond. But yeah,
what's your go-to? What are you just going to pilfer from your kids' bags?
I guess it's not great times for this for Skittles. A lot of stuff going on, I guess. But I will have all the Skittles. I will have all the Mike and Ikes. I'm more of the fruity candy guy rather than chocolate, if that makes sense. Twizzlers, Skittles, Swedish Fish, good batch maybe, but a bad ones gets way too chewy. Starburst, all the fruity stuff. I prefer.
Do your kids feel the same way about that?
It got to a point last year where they were running out of the house. Daddy, here's your Skittles. They gave us Skittles, so they know I like just, those. They more like, prefer the chocolate.
So like the dad tariff, the dad tax, they would just hand it to you on the way out?
Yeah, I ran out of pockets last year, actually, because
nice.
So many people were giving out Skittles. So, yeah,
okay.
Skittles are the go-to.
Well, let's hope for good weather on Monday. It doesn't sound great. And again, given my state with it being myself being currently under the weather, I mean, it'll take a heroic effort for me to be able to go both trick or treat and show up for Monday Night Football. But I'm gonna try my best.
I have two things.
Uh huh.
I have something I hate.
Here's what I hate.
And it's the idea of these college football teams that have iconic uniforms. Iconic. And they're messing with them, and they're awful. Michigan, you are the uniform of all uniforms.
Maize and blue.
And you come out in navy blue pants with the navy jerseys. Just atrocious. That's like the Yankees wearing their pinstripe tops with their gray bottoms. That would be awful. So you have an iconic uniform. Wear it. Tennessee, are you kidding? This year you're having two of the games. I got to watch you wear a gray uniform. And then last night you come out in these black things. Like, come on. You have an all-time uniform. Wear it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't understand. I've said this about the NFL. I mean, the Patriots, the Patriots and Broncos. You have just go back and Google your old jerseys. Dial up Carl Mecklenburg's uniform. Just wear that. Dial up Steve Grogan's uniform. Wear that.
Not the neck brace.
Understood. You don't need any with the Russ Francis, if that's better.
Oh yeah.
Mosey Tatupu, if that helps. People. The college thing's different because the gear matters more in the college space. The kids like the gear. And a 20-year-old kid now doesn't know or care about the old school iconic uniforms. They just like gear.
Yeah.
And so I think I think we can both be right where the kids are like, yeah, no, but see, I really dig the Tennessee uniforms. And you and I can both just shrug and say, okay, but you do
have an icon.
Well, you're wrong because you'd like something that we like. We don't like it, but you like it. So you're wrong. No, no, maybe we're wrong. Mm. But you can be right and wrong at the same time. Maybe you are. Because iconic uniforms shouldn't be trifled with.
Correct.
And they are.
Yeah. It's sad.
I don't feel like you see Penn State or Bama mess with theirs much.
No.
SC, they don't mess with theirs.
No.
I mean, and it's the same idea.
Mm.
Particularly Michigan.
I know. That's what I was saying. Like, Ohio State's worn alternates. They're not. I mean, they have a fantastic uniform.
And yep.
It's a new thing, I guess. So shout out to the kids that like new ugly things.
We're old, Steve, and we don't matter. So anything else?
We got to get you hydrated and get you ready for a big week here.
I'm fading.
Yeah.
I'm fading. I'm ill.
Maybe a little nap at work. I'm not out for a little bit.
I want to watch the Bills, though. So okay. We're going to watch the Bills on Sunday night, and we're gonna root for good weather for the World Series and for a holiday trick or treat. Have fun with your youngsters out there. Don't take too much of their stuff because that's kind of garbage. Yes, Steve.
I got one more. How many years ago was the last time you donned a Halloween costume?
Well, that's a good one. I feel like there was a. I feel like I wore a Blues Brothers outfit and went and saw some live music back. But that's, I mean,
you haven't put on a costume since you got married, right?
No,
no,
no, I haven't. No. Should I? Am I supposed to?
I think so.
Okay,
but no.
Well, I'd wear one tomorrow. Except, you know what I'm going to be? I'm going to be a late night TV cable host.
And professional.
I'm going to put on a suit and I'm going to go door to door in my neighborhood. All right, this has been a terrible performance for me as a host, and I don't know if I'm going to make it to midnight tonight. We'll see. I'm going to try.
We'll be all right.
All right. God bless you, everybody. Hang tough out there on the Halloween beat. We'll talk to y'all next week.